The foreigners are a little restless, scattered. Be aware, be mindful. When you move, don't forget yourself. Awareness is very important. Most people will forget themselves. When they start to practice, they control yourself. If you are afraid, they try to focus. So there's two extremes of getting lost and restless. And the other, the first extreme is called the indulgence in the senses and in thought and in the ideas. You might fall to the side of the senses. You cannot meditate well. When, on the other hand, when you start to practice, you go to the extreme of self-control. This is a critical point. If you cannot go on the middle way and fall to either extreme, you cannot develop the morality, concentration and wisdom. So the first thing in your practice, you remember the first sermon of the rotating of the wheel. You start with the two extremes that practitioner should avoid. The first is the indulgence in the senses. Another is self-mortification. So the first sermon start with this point. In his last sermon, he taught about non-negligent. If you cannot enter the middle way, you cannot develop the noble part. That's why he start with the middle way. Then he continued with the part of the eight factors. So the first five disciples understood, and the Gontanya, the first monk, has gained enlightenment. The next day, the other four monks gradually get the first enlightenment. And eventually, after 5 days, he taught about the non-self discourse on non-self, and all five monks attained full enlightenment. Why did the Buddha teach about the non-self on with the five aggregate, non-self in the five aggregates? That's the reason the Buddha taught this is because the type of listeners is strong in wisdom. That's why he taught about the non-self. On the next sermon, when he taught another group, the group of the 1,000 ascetics, he taught about the three fires, the three fires arising on the six senses. These six senses is suitable for those who practice with their bodies. These ascetics, these hermits or ascetics are keen in their practice with the bodies. So there is no best teaching, only the teaching that is suitable for each one of us. In order to find the teaching that fits us, we need to be understanding, to be clear on the practice. This is called sampajanya or clear comprehension. There are actually four clear comprehensions to know what is substantial or what is non-substantial. So do you realize how much time you spend each day on the non-substantial? Wasting time with our talk, with our chat. There's no essence, there's no substance at all. There's a lot of substantial things, but some of those are beneficial and some are not beneficial. The knowledge about the world, the cosmos, the universe, they are substantial, but not actually beneficial to us now. Even though we know that there are minerals in many stars, even though we know about them, but we can make no use of those minerals. Among those smaller group of beneficial things, some beneficial things is not suitable. Some are suitable, but some are not suitable to us. Like many types of practices, there are two practices like concentration leading to wisdom and wisdom leading to concentration. Or there are many types of objects. There are many meditation objects. There are mantra, there are light, there are colors, there are recollections. There are many of them. We need to find which is suitable to us. For inside practice, which objects are good for inside practice? We can use either the body, either the feeling, or the mind, or the phenomena. We can use these four foundations for inside practice. Do you know which fit to you? If you don't know, you will take a long time to practice. Can you gauge yourself? What is the best object for samatha practice? What is the best object for vipassana practice? I have taught you many things. You have learned many things from me, but you cannot pick up which teaching. It depends on you to pick up the right teaching from me. For samatha, I have taught that there are many objects. There is no particular object necessary. Any object can be used for samatha. Either mantra, either the body, or the dirtiness of the body, or some other idea, some other thought. If you choose the right object, it can help you weaken the defilement, the impulse. For example, by using the breath can help you fight with the restlessness. It can help you gain peace. Is this a kind of liberation, although it's just a momentary liberation? Or you can use the physical and mental phenomena for samatha, like your abdomen rise and fall, or the breathing in and out, or the four postures. These are just samatha practice. In order to become vipassana practice, we need to see this body into the three characteristics. Only by seeing the three characteristics in the body and mind, then we can reach insight. If we only see this body and mind, see different posture or rise and fall of the abdomen, those are just samatha, as long as they haven't reached the three characteristics. even they have experienced extraordinary phenomena, like feeling like the body enlarged or the body fly rise up. Those extraordinary phenomena are just samatha. The focusing on the body or the mind, those are just samatha. On the mind, you can focus on different feelings, those are samatha too. If you focus on the emptiness in the either in the body, emptiness in the mind, those emptiness are just samatha. As long as you haven't reached the three characteristics, you haven't reached vipassana yet. Objects for samatha. The first type is the just idea, the conventional object. The second type is the body and mind. And the third type is the nibbana. Can be used for samatha too. But it's impossible for us worldling normal people to use nibbana as object for samatha. Only for noble disciples can use nibbana. Even for the first level of enlightenment, he's still difficult to use nibbana for samatha. For us, it's impossible at all. So the principle of samatha, you can use any type of objects, but that objects must please your mind. If a mantra Buddha can please your mind, you can use it. If you are pleased with walking, you can use walking as an object. If you give your mind stay with a pleasant object, your mind will stay with that object for a long time. It will not go away to seek other objects. That's why happiness is the near cause of concentration. Can each of you recognize what is the best object for your samatha practice? Raise your hand. Someone say, oh, he can use any type of objects. So genius. Is it possible? It's possible. If you are really very experienced, you will can apply your knowledge, your experience from one object to another object. It's possible. The same with vipassana, if you can use certain object. So he's, if those who cannot raise his or her hand, you can use it. Really, you can use every type. But I don't believe that you can use all the objects for samatha. What do you use? Ah, you use walking. When you walk, and then you walk in a relaxed way. Are you stressed in your walk? You must be relaxed to attain samatha. That's because happiness is the near cause of concentration. If you love walking, you just walk and be happy with the walk. Whether the mind is peaceful or the mind is restless, just be aware of them. If the mind is happy or unhappy, be aware of them. Just observe it comfortably. When the mind stay with the walking, you will gradually attain samatha. So if we can choose the proper object for samatha, that's good. You can stay with that object frequently. It's impossible to stay with the object all the time. That's impossible. Just be with that object frequently. Just be aware of it and then get lost a bit and be aware and then get lost a bit. That's very, very good enough. Some of you think, oh, I will just get lost a lot if you allow me. You can get lost, but don't let it be too long. Just like 7 moments, my moment, that's fine. Don't let it get lost for longer. If you die at that moment, it's dangerous. You might go to hell. Now is this day is better. In a few years ago, is dangerous, very dangerous. So know yourself, observe yourself, observe whether which object fit with your personality, and then use that object to meditate frequently. Then you can attain calmness. But calmness is not enough. Calmness gives you power, so you can use power to develop further. Without calmness, you will be tired. If you only practice vipassana, to a certain point, you will not have enough power or energy. So it's best that you can practice both samatha and vipassana. I taught a few of my students, the first batch of my students long ago. I often taught them to stop samatha or concentration because most of them has learned wrong concentration previously. That's why I taught my first batch to stop concentration. Then I really want to teach them to practice correct concentration. The wrong concentration is just stressful or just losing consciousness. If you can, let's practice both samatha and vipassana. If you cannot practice samatha, your mind will learn by itself. When you practice vipassana for a while, it will switch to samatha by itself. That's because it's impossible to practice vipassana continuously. It can be a little dangerous to misunderstand. Like you have observed body and mind, observe physical and mental phenomena for a while, and then some extraordinary phenomena happen, like some bright light or some sound or some big lightning. You may feel very calm, very peaceful and bright, and you mistake that, oh, this is Nibbana or enlightenment. Actually, you might go off your base, go outside, go into a certain state, certain existence, certain level, a state of peace, a state of brightness, and then you get stuck to those states. This is actually the defilement, the obstruction of vipassana. This obstruction of vipassana occurs when you develop vipassana for a bit, and then your concentration is not enough, so you fall from vipassana into a certain state of different distraction of vipassana. There are 10 types of distraction of vipassana. The first type is the light, the brightness. For us who practice a lot of mind watching, it's easy to fall into this bright distraction. Your mind can get into brightness, and they feel, oh, this is emptiness and brightness. This is so happy. I have experienced this myself before. I have practiced for a while and I felt, oh, this is so bright and it's so light and there is no defilement. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe that this is enlightenment. So I observe it correctly. Those with very special, with happy, with extraordinary state, those are suspicious state. So I observe them. One day I went to visit Long Ta Mahabua, and I asked Long Ta, I need to wait for him for a period. He was busy with the issue inside the temples. So I wait behind him a bit, and I asked his permission to ask a question. He said, wait a bit, I'm busy now. I will be here. Wait a bit. Then he talked with his other student, and okay, and he finished his issue. And he turned back to me and asked, what's your problem? I said that my master taught me to observe the mind, but I wonder why there is no progress now lately. There is only happiness and peace and brightness, but no other progress. He told me instantly that my watching is not reaching your mind at all. You get distracted. It's a distraction from inside. So that's because I have stopped my samatha practice for years. That's why, and when I try to practice vipassana, my mind has inadequate, have not enough concentration. Then Long Ta Mahabua told me that you should use the mantra Buddha. Anything, nothing can be better than the mantra. And then he returned to take his breakfast. Then I try to understand his teaching. I try with the Buddha, the mantra, and I found I didn't like it. Then I investigate why did he taught me to use mantra. Oh, maybe my concentration is lacking. So I find other method for concentration. I use breathing in and breathing out for samatha. Then I try breathing in and out for a while, and my concentration improved. And when it is improved, I can get through my problem then. For you all, you don't stay with your masters, so you need to understand clearly the principle of samatha and vipassana. What is samatha? Samatha is using your mind to stay with a single object for a long time in a happy state. For vipassana, your mind need to see your body and mind into the three characteristics. You need to observe that when your mind when your eye contact with a picture, when your ear contact with a sound, when your tongue contact with taste, when your body contact with sensation, when your mind contact with an idea or thought, all through these six doors of senses, they are the starting point for your mind to change. When there is a contact, this type of contact, happiness arises. Another type of contact, painful feeling arises. If your mindfulness is not quick, when you contact with the good feeling, your happiness arises and greed arises. If you contact with painful object, the aversion or dislike arise. And if you contact with neutral object, the delusion just arise. So you can observe that your mind change all the time due to each and every contact. When you sit and then you turn back to see someone's face, seeing his face, oh, this is my friend. you are happy to see your friend. And when you go to close to him, oh, this is not really my friend, it's my enemy. Then you get angry from seeing your enemy. So you see that when your mind contact with picture, and then your mind recognize whether it's friend or enemy, the feeling change accordingly. When you observe this changing, it's vipassana. It's good for vipassana. The easy type of vipassana is to observe your mind. That's why the Buddha taught the five aggregates a lot. These five aggregates fit for people that love to think. These five aggregates has four parts that are mental phenomena and one part that are physical phenomena. On the other hand, the teaching about the six sense bases are fitting for those developed on their body, because the six bases have five of the bases in the physical phenomena and one part only the mental phenomena. Other type of meditation are difficult, like the elements. They have like 18 elements, that's too hard. But for this, the mind, observing the mind is easy, because you can just see that the mind is happy or unhappy. It's easy to see the difference. When you watch this, when you observe this feeling a lot, you see that every type of feeling, every type of phenomena come and go. It rise and fall, and we cannot control them. We cannot choose that when you see something, you will be happy or unhappy. At first when you see something, the first moment, there is no happy or unhappy. But after the second or the third moment, your mind will give value or recognize the meaning of the image. When your recognition work in a certain way, it will be happy and then it will unhappy. The first moment of contact of the image, there is no like or dislike. A few moments later, the signal from your eye go to your brain, to your thought, and there it will give judgment and give value whether you like it or dislike it. Also, you need to wait for the signal from your eye to reach your mind. Then there will be a pleasant and painful feeling in your mind after the signal is sent to your mind. So you have your eye, you let your eye see things, you let your ear hear things, let your tongue taste things, let your mind think of things. You don't stop any of them. But when there is the feeling following, whether the feeling is liking, happy or unhappy, the formation, the thinking like is greedy or angry, we don't choose any of them. We just be aware of them. If you are happy, be aware. You will see that, oh, happy arise. Before this, there is no happiness. Now happiness come. Then avoid the happiness go. If you are aware of the happiness, after a while, the happiness will drop away. Some will feel, oh, if you observe happiness fall away, that's bad. So, but I will just let the happiness come and let it stay. But if the unhappiness come and I observe, so the unhappiness can drop off. So I will get only happiness. This is not good. It's impossible to progress this way. You need to treat them equally, to be aware of all of them. They all can teach you. You see that each of them come on its own. It arises by its own rule. You cannot stop it. If you come by itself, if you go away by itself, it's not according to our control. It's beyond our control. When you can see that it comes and then it goes, it rises and then it falls, you are seeing impermanence. you can either see impermanence, suffering, or you can either see impermanence or non-self in your mind, in your mental phenomena. It's difficult to see suffering. Only for those who are near the end of their practice, they can sometimes see suffering in the mind. Those who are very good in concentration, they will reach final enlightenment by seeing suffering. But for us, new practitioner, you can only see impermanence and non-self in our mind. You see things comes and go. Don't confuse them about the first practice and the final practice. In our initial practice, it will be either impermanence or non-self. This initial practice is called the path, the preliminary path. But at the end of the practice is a noble path. At the end of the practice, the mind will choose by itself to see whether impermanent suffering or non-self. At the end, it will choose by itself, we cannot choose. It depends on our personality, our disposition. For those with strong wisdom, they will see the non-self. For those with strong concentration, they will see suffering. So, in conclusion, what we should practice is samatha and vipassana. Samatha, you practice is to gain power in your mind. With enough power, you use that power to practice vipassana. Vipassana need a stable observer, and then you use this observer to see body and mind. For most of you, you are the thinking type, so it's better to use the observation of the mind. You just observe whatever arises in your mind, observe them directly until you can see the three characteristics. That's called the vipassana. During your practice, your mind will just switch to samatha automatically. Sometimes the distraction will arise. This distraction, inside distraction, can arise by itself. Be aware if this strange phenomena arise. When you have enough concentration, with enough concentration, the inside distraction will drop away. Okay, you can go and have your meal now.